Hi, it's Ellen DeGeneres. Welcome to my podcast. We're going to listen to some of the best moments from the show, and it's going to be hosted by four executive producers that I love. Happy listening.
On today's episode of Ellen on the Go, we end our season, our television season, with some of the most important shows we feel that we have ever done. And in that vein, Representative Stacey Abrams, the amazing Stacey Abrams from the great state of Georgia, chats about the 2020 election and voter suppression and voters' rights. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, basketball legend, helps us explore how we move forward from here. The incredible Ava DuVernay, director and author of the documentary 13th, which is incredible, joins us and comments on the perception of police invisibility through George Floyd's death. And the judges from the show Songland talk about the impacts of the Black Lives Matter movement. And they also help us with a theme song for our Game of Games show. I'm Ed Glavin.
I'm Mary Connolly.
I'm Andy Lassner with the voice of Silk.
Gosh, I'm Kevin A. Lehman II. Barf.
I'm Kevin A. Lehman II. Barf.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Hi, everybody. Hey,
Silk voice. Where would you like to...
Yeah, hi, Silk. Hi, Mr. Silk.
Hi, guys. I want to start by checking in with all our amazing listeners, see how they're doing. Hold on. Hold on, they're answering me.
One by one?
Okay, they're doing okay.
Oh, good. We got all seven.
How's Portia? We lost one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Portia took the summer.
Oh, no.
They want to listen to us for the summer. But in all seriousness, I hope everyone at home is safe and healthy and getting through these crazy times as we all are.
Yep. Exactly. Well said. Exactly right. Kev, things are starting to open up a little bit, and you participated in some of the opening up over the weekend?
I did. I went to Don Cuco's, the official sponsor of Ellen on the Go.
Nope, not official at all.
I think you're the official sponsor of Don Cuco's.
They keep me going, so I couldn't do the show without them. So no, there's one. That.
Where is Don Cuco's located, just in case people are wanting to?
I'm sure they are.
Experience.
Oh, they're right across from the Warner Brothers studio on Riverside. There's several locations.
Where are the other locations?
Oh, you guys, you know about this. No. Don Cuco and his wife got a divorce. There were six of them.
No.
They split the restaurants in the divorce. All three that she went to her have closed. And his are still open. I know. And she had a great one in Glendale, which instead of sour cream would give you spicy beans.
Ooh.
I know, with their chips at the beginning. So
you would ask for sour cream and then give you spicy beans?
Well, no. At every Don Cuco's, you get sour cream with your salsa.
I see.
That one, spicy beans.
Anyway, wow.
I know. So it was good to get out of the house. I went to Don Cuco's. They put up the plexiglass between all the booths, which makes eavesdropping harder.
Yeah. You went to right? Didn't you go to a march?
I went to a march in Glendale. Went to Glendale for a march, which was amazing.
Well, should we just tell the nice people, like some of the people that we had on the show this week who are so amazing? I mean, we mentioned them in the tease, but seems like it, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Absolutely.
I would like to talk about Stacey Abrams first, if we could.
Please.
Stacey Abrams is the woman who came within less than 1% margin of winning the election for governor of Georgia in, I think, 2018. So the governor of Georgia is Brian Kemp. He was an incumbent. She lost to him by less than 1%. And it is commonly believed that there was a fair amount of voter suppression in that election, meaning that if everybody who was legally permitted to vote actually got to vote, she probably would have won. She never conceded that election. And she's just an incredible, I've seen her a number of times now in various interviews, and she's just, I just love her. I think she's really, really smart, and she's not going to let this issue lose visibility. It's not going to go away on her watch. She's amazing. Right. And she's on a short list to be Joe Biden's running mate. So, you know, and we had her on the show last week, right in the middle of all the protests after the murder of George Floyd. And I just find her so strong and so smart and so compelling. Let's play a clip of the interview, and we'll play as much of this as we can. She's definitely worth knowing about if you don't already know her.
So voting is probably one of the most important things that everyone can do right now to help change this systematic racism and everybody that's in power that is not doing anything to help, basically inciting it. Voter suppression, which affected you in the governor's race, we're trying to use the platform on our show to educate viewers who might not be aware of how that is contributing to the loss of Black lives, if you want to address that for a minute.
Thank you. It's three things. It's, can you register and stay on the rolls? Can you cast a ballot, and does your ballot get counted? And in that, that means if you live in a state like Georgia or Ohio, yes, you might be able to get on the rolls. Well, will they purge you because you didn't vote in a few elections? If you live in Wisconsin, are you required to have a voter ID? That means you have to show an original birth certificate, which a lot of folks born during segregation, for example, won't have because they were not allowed to be born in white hospitals. And it says your ballot count. We know across the country, including in Georgia and Florida and a number of other states, absentee ballots or provisional ballots are thrown out, or worse, they're never allowed to be cast at all. And so we have to look at the entire network of voter suppression. It's no longer one thing. It's any impediment that disallows an eligible voter to cast their ballot. And if it's under the color of law, if it's done by those responsible for our access, then it is voter suppression and we need to wipe it out.
I think that's the one thing that everyone should start really looking at early on. If you're going to vote by absentee, by mail, if you're going to, and wherever you live, you need to do the research starting now almost to make sure you're eligible to vote. Because if you wait too late, then we don't hear that voice. Trump is already saying that voting by mail is you know, shouldn't happen. It's fraudulent. Which is, again, I'll let you speak to that.
Well, he actually told the truth once when he said that the reason he doesn't like vote by mail is that it's because he doesn't think he could get reelected if everyone actually voted. There is no voter fraud. And voter fraud is largely mythical. There are handfuls of examples, but even the most arduous defenders of the voter fraud idea, the Heritage Foundation, have only found 1,300 examples out of 625 million ballots that were cast between 2000 and 2020 in just federal elections. Let's just count federal elections. Voter fraud is not the problem. It doesn't happen. It doesn't change elections. It does not exist in any meaningful way. But what they're trying to block is voter participation, because they know that in a pandemic, the easiest way to protect everyone is to allow people to vote by mail, because we have some folks who don't have that choice. Those are the people who need to go to vote on election day. Everyone else should be allowed to vote early through vote by mail. And the reason they're worried is they know that this is a year where the elections truly matter and that people are energized. And if they can stop them from voting by mail, they think they can shut us up and we need to prove them wrong.
I just love her.
She's really inspiring.
She's incredible.
She's compelling.
Such a
I think all the guests we've had on this important topic have been so well-spoken, compelling, and with actual information of what we all can do to make a better world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
No doubt. Being able to vote is one of the foundations of our democracy. Everyone having an equal right and an equal opportunity to vote is, without that, what do we have? And yet, all across this country, there are entities, people, structures, there's all kinds of forces trying to prevent people from voting. And this is a mission. Fixing that is a mission to Stacey Abrams. And I believe part of the voter suppression in this country, the push against vote by mail and reducing the number of locations, like in Dodge City, Kansas, so that only there's only one location where you can vote and it's not accessible by public transportation. It is part of the systemic racism that exists in America. And it's got to be stopped. Like it's got to be stopped. Yep. In addition to all the other things we have to work on, that has got to be stopped. It is the core of what we stand for.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely unbelievable that for all these years and continuing today, people tried to take away the basic right that all Americans have to vote.
Yep.
And they just try to do it in these underhanded, undermined ways of seemingly being completely democratic while not being democratic.
Yeah. And it's so important to get the young people enthusiastic about going to the polls and voting, because I remember as a kid, my parents would always say, it's always the old people. You guys don't go out and vote enough. And as now being an old person myself, I see it. I see so many people, young people who have amazing opinions, and then it it's time to turn out, and they don't turn out in the numbers you'd want them to. And so I think mail-in voting, I think anything we can do to make it better and more accessible for every young person to vote, the better.
But like, it's one thing to have the right to vote, to have access to voting, and to be, you know, of a certain age. Although I think that apathy exists across, I don't put that just on like millennials or Gen Zers or whatever. I think that exists across all demos. But it's one thing to have the right to vote and to not exercise that right. It's another thing to have that right taken from you by your own government. And by the way, anyone who's telling you that vote by mail leads to voter fraud, or that there is some elevated level of voter fraud in vote by mail, is lying.
Yeah.
It's not true. There is no voter fraud in vote by mail. It is not true. Check it. Check reliable sources. And the very people who are telling you that vote by mail is filled with fraud actually vote by mail themselves.
Yeah.
They vote by mail.
Yeah.
Don't believe it. Don't buy it. It's not
true. Educate yourself. You don't have to listen to us, but educate yourself. But just getting back to the other point, I think our generation, and you know, I'm speaking for older Americans, we've shown what we're doing, and it hasn't been good enough. And I think some of the really smart young voices out there need to be listened to. And I think, you know, and not in a lazy way, I really look to the next generation of my kids, my daughter, my sons, to fix the mess that a lot of us are responsible for putting in play.
Yeah, and if you want an education, I strongly recommend everyone watch Ava DuVernay's 13th.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, she actually put it up free on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
And it shows easy to digest is a very ironic term for this, but she lays it out in a simple manner where you get to trace it, racism, back to its roots. And it is what our country was built on.
Yes.
Right. And
how the criminal justice system has taken up that.
Exactly.
And instead of, you know, just saying, we need cops and we're not saying that we don't need police, but we're saying there's a lot of other things at play in how the police operate right now. And until we change that at its core, we're going to continue to have major problems. And it's so good. It came out in 2016.
I learned a lot watching it.
Yeah. I learned so much.
Yeah. It's filled with facts and data. Like it's
not the letters. Okay. It's just the number 13th.
Yeah, it's 13th Amendment.
And it's, as Kevin said, it's easy watching, but really important watching.
Really hard watching.
Really
it's
hard
like,
watching.
It's digestible.
Digestible. Yeah. That's what I meant by easy.
I know that's why it's, I wish I had a better term for it.
Yeah, me too. But it just...
It's easy to understand. It's super obvious what's happening in the world, and it's heartbreaking.
And it brings it all home for why this rage is so... The time has come.
Right.
And one thing that it sheds a light on that I really like, being probably the more conservative person on this podcast, is it is not a single politician's fault. It is truly history. Yeah. Whoever we vote for, if the president changes, that doesn't mean the work stops. Like this Correct. Is a deep,
yeah.
Like racism didn't disappear under Obama. It was still here, but we've awoken to it now. And I hope that everyone will watch this because it really is a lot of things to think about that just challenge your worldview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice in a world where we're playing Candy Crush and all these things.
I was so glad she joined Ellen for this discussion.
Yeah.
And here's a little bit about what they talked about.
Hi, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. I admire you so much. Everything that you've done, all of your projects are important. I could say that they're all mandatory, but 13th is so powerful. And Twitch, I know that you're obsessed with this documentary too. I mean, I've seen it twice now.
Absolutely. It's just, it uncovers so much. And you're right. It is mandatory.
Ava, so what has been going through your mind watching everything that's happening over the last week and a half?
Yeah, no, I mean, these are times that, I don't even describe them as tough times. I describe them as important times. And, for me, I am unfortunately kind of desensitized to so many of the racist violent images because I have to use them so much in my work. You know, I looked through thousands of hours of this kind of footage for 13th, you know, looked through beatings and police brutality footage for Selma and for When They See Us. So it was really shocking to me why the George Floyd video just brought me to my knees. And I think as I interrogated, I was shocked at the reasons. It was because we actually watched both parties' faces perfectly framed. It wasn't a body cam footage where you saw the black person be shot and you did not see the officer. It wasn't grainy footage from a security camera across the street. It was both men right in your face, right to the lens, one begging for his life and one taking his life. And I think the startling nature of that for me is it showed me, and when you ask what I've been thinking about, it made me realize that we have let police officers who abuse off the hook by allowing them to recede into society and kind of disappear. We know the names of black victims, Philando Castile, Oscar Grant, you know, Sandra Bland, Sean Reed, you know, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Mike Brown, it goes on and on. But we never know who killed them, right? This invisibility allows us to tell a story that is incomplete. And so for me, that's a lot of what I've been thinking about in this moment, how we've allowed this sense of police invisibility, which leads to a lack of accountability, which is just one of many issues within our current criminal justice system that needs to be dismantled.
Yeah, that's well put. And you don't think of that. We do know the names of all the victims, but we don't know those names and hold them accountable like that.
Ellen was the person who told me about the film.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she told us all about the film, but she was like, you should really check it out. And I was glad that I did. And the beginning of my learning.
Yeah. Ellen has been, I think Ellen has been incredible speaking up in this moment where, you know, people have been very afraid of saying the wrong thing. Ellen just weighs in. She wants to be impactful.
She welcomes being corrected when she says the wrong thing, because we're all learning. And I think she makes it okay for everybody to feel like it's okay to learn.
So much of the world has been of late this cancel culture, where if you say the wrong thing, everyone wants to just be done with you. And that is not, in my opinion, what should be happening right now. What has to happen now is an openness to learning. An openness to listening, an openness to, if you say something incorrect on Monday, you get a chance to say it better on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And because we all need to be heading in the right direction. We all need to be heading in the same direction, which is becoming more understanding and more educated about what is happening with the systematic racism in this country and how, by God, now it has got to change and it has got to stop as much as we can make it happen.
Yeah.
It really does. And the cancel culture doesn't work to help everybody learn and feel like they can learn and move forward.
I agree, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Who else should we talk about?
Well, we could talk about basketball legend and all-time leading scorer in the history of the NBA, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, we could.
This guy's a straight-up genius. Like, he is, you know, he pops, since he's retired, I mean, he retired probably 25, 30 years ago. But since he's retired, he has just become, like, he writes these occasional op-eds and he writes books and he's a genius. Like, he's brilliant. He appeared on our show primarily because he wrote an op-ed, I think for the Washington Post, the weekend prior to his appearance on our show, basically saying, wonder why you're seeing these violent protests. You're seeing people at the end of their rope. And it was a really well-written piece. And so we booked him. And then I had forgotten this, but, you know, Ellen has been fortunate enough to have been given the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. And the same day that she received hers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar also was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Barack Obama.
Right.
And
right.
Unrelated, so was Bruce Springsteen. Just throwing that out there.
Sure.
but so they sort of bonded over that at the beginning of the interview, which I thought was really sweet. Yeah. You know, it was really cool. And he's like such a gentleman too, that guy.
Yeah. And back tall. In the day, back in the back in the day when I used to play ball with him, I can say he's a gentleman. Yeah. Let me just finish. Yep. He's a gentleman on and off the court.
Did you play? Oh, did you play for John Wooden? Were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you at UCLA?
A lot of my life philosophy comes from sort of Wooden.
True story. Andy played basketball with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did not know Andy was there.
Wow. Wow. A small joke.
I would say more of a tall joke, Andy. He's seven feet tall.
Yeah. Oh, well, I deserve it. Yeah, he was. I thought he was eloquent. I thought his explanation of the rage was incredible. And he's a great voice.
Well, he made the point, and you'll probably hear it in the interview, but I'll say it anyway. He made the point that in terms of peaceful protests, that, you know, they tried peaceful protests. Colin Kaepernick protested peacefully and was ostracized for it. Trump took on the whole NFL for that. Peaceful protests have been tried. And this is not to endorse violent protests, because I don't endorse them. But it explains why they're happening, why they have been happening. They have stopped now. They have largely abated. And it is primarily peaceful protests now, massive peaceful protests. And I feel like we are on the precipice of massive change. I feel it. I hope it. I pray for it. Anyway, here's a clip of Ellen and Kareem.
Hi there.
How you doing, Ellen?
I'm okay. Thanks for taking the time to talk. We met at the White House. We were both receiving our Presidential Medal of Freedom at the same time.
Yes.
And that was quite an honor.
It was a wonderful time. And I thought it was well thought out.
Yeah, it was a great day. And to receive it from Obama was like, you know, the best thing ever. And boy, do we miss him right now.
Tell me about it.
What question? Yeah, I know. What question do you think is not being asked in the media right now? What's missing?
How do we move forward from here? We have to figure out a way, Ellen, to deal with bad cops. There needs to be a legal solution to that, I think. And the sooner that we can get the political will to make that happen, it'll reduce a lot of these instances.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, we've people bring this up that Colin Kaepernick protested this for this exact same reason. And he was ostracized. He lost his job and he was just trying to point this out.
Yeah, it goes to show you how culturally we're conditioned not to want to talk about that because it's such a difficult problem. And we have to talk about that problem if we're going to solve it. So maybe now, you know, with this horrible incident with Mr. Floyd, we can find the political will to talk about these issues and work for the elimination of these circumstances. And, you know, we'll move many steps forward if we can do that.
Yeah. We're all hoping for that. You wrote a powerful op-ed called "Don't Understand the Protest," and what you're seeing is people have just been pushed to the edge. This is what you're saying.
Absolutely, people that have no means to call attention to their problems. They've been pushed too far, and one of the things that is really galling and it's so tiresome that Black citizens end up dead for no good reason. It started in my life when I was 8 years old, when Emmett Till got killed. That was 1955. And it still happens on a regular basis. We've got to figure out a way to change that dynamic.
They're terrific, and he is terrific, and he's, as you say, he's so smart. If an NFL team today would sign Colin Kaepernick, it would go so far into changing the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, a group of current NFL players called out the NFL and told them they should apologize for their stance on protesting in 2016 and 2017. And one of those players was Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champion, Bowl MVP. Yeah. And the next day, the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, who's not, I would say, beloved by the players or by the public, did just that. He apologized for the NFL stance, and he completely flipped and invited peaceful protests by NFL players. It's movement. It's definitely movement. Kev.
Erling.
We have an unrelated topic, a topic that has not been dominating world events for the past 2 weeks that we did feature on our show, and that was the judges from the show Songland, a show yeah. Ellen loves. And that's because Kevin Lehman, the second, had an idea.
I did have an idea. She loves the show. We were out on her patio talking before one of the shows about maybe 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And thought how cool it would be if we use Songland judges to create a new theme song for Game of Games. Right now, it always starts with like a different popular song. And I am a sucker for a theme song. I think it was when I grew up. Oh boy, I miss them. We invited them on to like riff a theme song for the new season of Game of Games.
That's amazing. We'll
be here before you know it. It's going to be in the fall this year.
Yeah.
I also had a really interesting conversation before we got to the fun part, but they had an important conversation. And here's what happened with Ryan, Esther, and Shane from Songland.
I'm so happy to talk to y'all. And Ryan and I speak often. And thank you for those goodies that you sent, Ryan. Yeah. And I just have to say, and he knows this, I'm a huge fan. Portia and I watch the show every week. We love it. We love the three of you. Anyway, congratulations on that. And thank you for keeping the booking, because it is a crazy time and we are trying to focus on all the things we can do to listen and learn and educate. But we wanted to talk to you three today. So how are all of you doing?
I am doing as Esther would be doing. If everybody who knows me, I'm a person who looks toward light at all times. So at the end of the day, I'm being who I am by projecting out love at all times. And I love what I'm getting to see. I love who everybody is being or becoming. So I feel very lucky to be in this time, to be in a time of history that change, it will be in history forever. It's like, this is the beginning of a new history. And I'm so honored to be able to see it and be a part of it and make change.
That's amazing. I am so glad to see these two, and especially to meet you, Ellen. And thank you for having us. Esther, I love what you just said. You know, I've certainly never felt more sort of helpless or white in my life, and trying to not, so, you know, this whole thing about not saying anything or not addressing some things, it's really difficult for me. I feel very ignorant. And so I don't want to say the wrong thing. I take your lead a lot of times, Esther. And when you talk about being in the middle of love and looking at it from light, I am trying very hard to just to learn, even that at times sounds too passive, but I just am glad that we even get to have these kind of discussions. I feel very fortunate. Other than that, I am in Florida with my family. I've been here through quarantine, and we've actually had a really great family time. My two kids and my husband and I have been together for 3 months now. It's been good and crazy.
And Ryan, how are you, Ryan?
Yes, Ryan.
I'm doing great. You know, the last 5 days, notwithstanding, last 5 days have rocked my world. Is the first moment I've hit since the pandemic started where I didn't feel creative. I canceled sessions. I couldn't, still can't really get out of the fog. You know, without rehashing everything that happened, I happened to come across that video about 30, 40 minutes after it went live. I didn't even know what I was watching, to be honest. And then I cried, you know, like I think a lot of people have done. I won't go into my whole history, but I grew up, a decent chunk of my life was deep in brazen, revolting racism, things that I personally witnessed growing up. I'm grateful to not be surrounded by that anymore, but yet it's still there, and it's time.
Now, we should say, so the Songland people don't get too excited, I have a theme song for the show that's still in contention. Game of games, game of games, let's have fun. That's all I have so far. Yeah, so that's being seriously considered by network executives.
Wow. Andy, just because we're all looking at each other on a Zoom, is there any way?
Oh my gosh. I can see your nethers.
I can't see you guys anymore.
I can see a lot of you.
I know. Game of games. Let's have fun. Ellen's game of games.
Listen, I'm still working on the guitar. I think it's important to note. I just want to put this out there. I think it's important to note that I am going to post a picture. I feel like people want to see Andy during the podcast. So I just texted you guys the picture of Andy taken moments ago.
I just texted you a picture of Andy.
Why so wide, Scramble?
This one is actually even.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's a good Instagram, but don't do it.
So look for that.
That is so funny.
Well, I look forward to a season 18 that is maybe less eventful than the first 6 months of 2020. Maybe less pandemic.
Yeah, less pandemic, less tragedy. Pandemic.
As we leave you, be careful as the country opens back up, because there is today. Yesterday was the single highest day of individual cases reported since the pandemic started.
And it's in the United States?
In the country, yeah.
Wow.
Some states are going down. You know, New York is doing great. LA is not doing great. It's not doing horrible, but it's not doing great. Some states are really spiking. Just be careful. Yeah.
Well, I wish someone would have told me that before I went to a casino.
My God. This is what, ladies and gentlemen, listen to how addiction works in the middle of the pandemic. Go ahead.
Oh. So Chris is out of town. Your husband's out of town. And so
that's a get out of jail free card for Kevin.
Well, I was looking at these walls and this has been the toughest month for, I know, a lot of people. This has been my toughest month ever. So I needed to get out of here. And I took my dogs. I found on Hotel Tonight, you can book a hotel for they have a deal of the day, which is the cheapest one. It was like 80 or 90 bucks. I found this hotel called the O Spa in Palm Springs, which I know sounds odd.
Which you thought, it's a spa.
It's right on the hot spring. So the jacuzzi is a natural hot spring.
Wow.
So I'm like, this is great. It said adults only, which is my first red flag. And it's called the O Spa, second red flag.
Oh no.
But as I mentioned, $80 or $90. So I go out there. My dog throws up about 6 miles from the hotel in my very tiny car. Oh, so now I'm nice. Driving with two dogs panting to and throw up. Then it's like one of those windy springs. Where the white sand is blasting so hard across my car, it looks like lightning in my headlights.
Oh, yeah.
So that was scary. I get there. Blustery. The hotel is surrounded by a tall wall. So I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a nudist colony. I thought I signed up for like a nude hotel because I think those exist in Palm Springs. Then I'm knocking on the door because it's locked. I can't get in. I notice the logo, the O Hotel, the O is a marijuana leaf.
Oh boy.
I'm like, what on earth have I found? And this guy, because I was like, hello, you Kevin? I'm like, yeah. He goes, come on in. And you go inside. It's like laid out like an apartment complex around a quad. There's 12 rooms. He's like, you're going to be in seven Kevin. And then we go to check in like
seven Kevin,
a communal kitchen where everyone the hotel is just chilling, drinking, smoking.
And your dogs are what? Like going wild?
Dogs I left in the car because I wanted to get a lay of the land.
Okay. Make sure we're gonna smart. Stay there.
Then he's like, just so you know, we're the only hotel that has in room service weed. And we have edibles and flowers. And like starts using words I don't know what they are because I'm not a weed person.
Yeah, you're not a big pot guy.
But I think what happened was
all meth all the time.
I think it was one of those like a secret hotel before weed was legal that you could go do it there.
It's very communal. Pot is legal everywhere now in California, recreational.
Now, yes, I know. Wow. But I think this might have been there before that all happened.
Did you meet anyone interesting at the pot hotel?
So I put the dogs in the room. They were very tired from the drive. I went to the casino for about 3 hours, quickly went home to see the dogs, let them out. And then I slept for about 3 hours and drove home the next morning.
Wow. Fascinating.
At like 5:30 in the morning. So, Anyway, it was a good little break from everything, but
that's crazy.
It's a little adventure.
That's a little craziness right there.
You know, we hope you all have an amazing summer and know that when we return with the Ellen Show in the fall, She is going to make you laugh. She's going to entertain you. We're going to talk to celebrities, but we are also going to continue our commitment to helping bring forth the movement of Black Lives Matter in a meaningful way, in a way that we can all hope to learn from.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for another season. Thank you for listening to the podcast.
Thanks to Daniel. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank everybody.
Thank you, DJ.
This all happened, DJ.
Yeah. Wait, Andy, let's do that thing where when Mary starts to talk and meaningfully thank people, you jump on her, okay?
I just want to say thank you to all the 87 people on the crew of this podcast that put this together.
Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts or wherever, Spotify or wherever you're listening to this podcast. And don't forget to watch Ellen weekdays for even more Ellen fun. Bye, Portia.
Have a good summer, Portia.
I'll see you guys at the party.
Bye, everybody. Have a safe summer, meaningful summer. Thanks.